Chapter 31. Into the Void. Matt dumped the rest of the wine into his mouth, savoring the sweet, cool taste. He brought the cup down and tossed a handful of 5 dice. They tumbled to the wooden floor of the tavern, clacking against one another. The air was thick. Thick with sounds, thick with curses, thick with scents. Smoke, pungent liquors, a steak that had been peppered so much that you could hardly taste the meat. That was probably for the best. Even in Camelin, meat spoiled unpredictably. The pungent men around Matt watched his dice fall. One of the men stank of garlic, another of sweat, a third of a tannery. Their hair was stringy, their fingers were grimy, but their coin was good. The game was called Karanko's Spit and hailed from Shinar. Matt did not know the rules.
5 wands, said the man who stank of garlic.
His name was Riddle. He seemed unsettled.
That's a loss.
No, it's not, Matt said softly. Never mind that he did not know the rules. He knew he had won. He could feel it. His luck was with him. Good thing, too. He needed it tonight. The man that smelled of a tannery reached for his belt, where he carried a wicked knife. His name was Sadler, and he had a chin that could have been used to sharpen swords.
I thought you said you didn't know this game, friend.
I don't, Matt said. Friend? But that's a win. Do we need to ask around the room to see if anyone else can confirm it? The 3 men looked at each other, expressions dark. Matt stood up. The inn had walls dark from years of men smoking pipes inside it, and the windows, though of fine glass, had grown opaque with dirt and smoke. It was a tradition that they never be cleaned. The weathered sign out front had a wagon wheel painted on it, and the official name was the Dusty Wheel. Everyone called it the Rumor Wheel instead. It was the best place in Camelin to listen to rumors. Most of them were untrue, but that was half the fun. Most everyone in the place was drinking ale, but Matt had taken a fancy to good red wine lately.
"Want some more, Master Crimson?"
Katie, the serving woman, asked. She was a raven-haired beauty with a smile so wide it reached halfway to Kyrian. She had been flirting with him all night. Never mind that he had told her he was married. He had not even smiled at her.
Well, not much. And hardly his best smile.
Some women could not see the truth of things, even if it was written on their own foreheads. That was a fact. He waved her away.
Only 1 cup tonight, for courage. Burn him, but he needed a little of that.
With resignation, he took the scarf off his neck and dropped it to the side. He untucked the fox head medallion, liked but it felt good to be wearing that again, and hung it out front of his clothing. He wore the new red and silver coat that Tom had bought him. Matt took his ashandarai from beside the wall and pulled off the cloth cover, revealing the blade. He set it over his shoulder.
"Hey," he said in a loud voice. "Anybody in the bloody place know the rules for Karanko's Spit?"
The 3 men he had been dicing regarded the weapon. The 3rd of them, Snell, stood up, hooking his thumbs into the top of his trousers, pushing back his coat and showing the short sword buckled at his waist. Most people ignored Matt at first. Conversations rang, stories about the Borderlander army that had passed, about the Queen's pregnancy, about the Dragon Reborn, about mysterious deaths or not-so-mysterious ones. Everyone had a rumor to share. Some of the inn's occupants wore little better than rags, but some wore the finest of clothing. Nobles, commoners, and everything in between came to the rumor wheel. A few men by the bar glanced at Matt because of the outburst. One hesitated, blinking. Matt reached down and took his wide-brimmed black hat off the table beside him, holding it by the crown, then set it on his head. The man nudged his companions. The sweaty, balding man Matt had been dicing with raised fingers to his chin, rubbing it in thought as if trying to remember something. Snell smiled at Matt.
"Looks like nobody answered you, friend.
Guess you'll have to trust us. You shouldn't have thrown if you didn't ask the rules. Now, are you going to pay, or...
Riddle's eyes opened wide, and he stood hastily and took his friend's arm. He leaned in, whispering something. Snell looked down at Matt's medallion. He looked up and met Matt's eyes. Matt nodded.
Excuse us,
Riddle said, stumbling away. The other two joined him. They left their dice and coins on the ground. Matt casually knelt down, scooping up the coins and dumping them in his pouch. He left the dice. They were loaded, meant to almost always throw threes. He'd been able to judge that from a few quick throws before laying down coins. Whispers moved through the inn's common room like a swarm of ants covering a corpse. Chairs scooted back. Conversations changed tempo, some silencing, others becoming urgent. Matt stood up to go. People hastened out of his way. Matt left a golden crown on the edge of the bar, then tipped his hat to Hatch, the innkeeper. The man stood behind the bar wiping a glass, his wife next to him. She was a pretty one, but Hatch kept a special cudgel for thumping men who looked too long. Matt gave her only a short look then. Matt pulled off his black scarf, leaving it on the floor. It had a hole in it now anyway. He stepped out into the night, and the moment he did, the dice stopped thundering in his head. It was time to get to work. He walked out onto the street. He had spent all evening with his face uncovered. He was certain he had been recognized a few times, mostly by men who had slipped out into the night without saying anything. As he walked down off the inn's front porch, people gathered at the windows and doorway. Matt tried not to feel like all of those eyes were knives sticking into his back. Light, he felt like he was dangling from another noose. He reached up and felt at the scar on his neck. It had been a long while since he had gone about with his neck uncovered. Even with Tylin, he had normally left the scarf on. Tonight, though, he danced with Jack of the Shadows. He tied his medallion to the Ashandarai. He affixed it so that the medallion rested against the flat of the blade, and one edge hung out over the tip. It would be hard to use, he would have to hit with the flat of the blade in most cases to touch the medallion to flesh, but it gave him much better reach than swinging the medallion by hand. Medallion in place, he picked a direction and began walking. He was in the new city, a place heaped with man-made buildings, a contrast to the fine ogier work elsewhere in Camelin. These buildings were well-built, but were narrow and thin, up close next to one another. The first group tried to kill him before he was one street away from the rumor wheel. There were four of them. As they charged him, a group of shadows leaped from a nearby alleyway, Telmanis at their head. Matt spun on the killers, who pulled up short as his soldiers joined him. The street toughs fled in a scramble, and Matt nodded to Telmanis. The men of the band faded back into the darkness, and Matt continued on his way. He walked slowly, carrying his Ashandarai on his shoulder. His men had been told to keep their distance unless he was attacked. He ended up needing them three more times through the hour, each time scaring away a larger group of thugs. The last time the band and he actually clashed with the assassins. The thugs were no match for trained soldiers, even on the darkened streets that were their home. The exchange left five of the thugs dead, but only one of his men wounded. Matt sent Harvell away with a guard of two. It grew later and later. Matt began to worry that he would have to repeat this act the next night. But then he noticed someone standing in the street ahead. The paving stones were wet from a misting earlier in the night, and they reflected the slivered moon. Matt stopped, lowering his weapon to his side. He could not make out details about the figure, but the way it stood...
You think to ambush me?
The Golem asked, sounding amused.
With your men who squish and rip, who die so easily, almost at a touch?
I'm tired of being chased, Matt said loudly.
So you deliver yourself to me. What a kind gift.
Sure,
Matt said, lowering his Ashendarai, Foxhead on the back catching the moonlight. Just mind the sharp edges. The thing slid forward and Matt's men lit lanterns. The men of the band set the lanterns on the ground, then backed away, a few of them dashing off to deliver messages. They had strict orders not to interfere. Tonight would probably strain their oaths to him on that. Matt planted himself and waited for the golem. Only a hero charged a beast like that, and he was no bloody hero. Though his men would be trying to clear away anyone on the streets, trying to keep the area empty so nobody would scare the golem away. That was not heroism. It might have been stupidity, though. The golem's fluid movements threw lantern light shadows across the road. Matt met it with a sweep of his Ashendarai, but the beast danced to the side, easily evading him. Bloody ashes, but the thing was fast. It reached out, swiping at the front of the Ashendarai with the knife it held. Matt yanked the Ashendarai back, not letting the monster cut the medallion free. It danced around Matt, and he spun, staying inside the ring of lanterns. He had chosen a relatively wide street, remembering with a shiver that day in the alleyway of Ebu Dar where the golem had nearly taken him in close quarters. The beast slid forward again, and Matt fainted, drawing it in. He almost miscalculated, but twisted the Ashendarai in time to slap the golem with the flat of the weapon. The medallion let out a hiss as it touched the golem's arm. The golem cursed and backed away. Wavering lantern light illuminated its features, leaving pockets of darkness and pockets of light. It was smiling again, despite the wisp of smoke rising from its arm. Before, Matt had thought this creature's face unremarkable, but in the uneven light, and with that smile, it took on a terrifying cast. More angular, reflected lantern light making its eyes glow like tiny yellow flames consumed by the darkness of its sockets. Nondescript by day, a horror by night. This thing had slaughtered Tylin while she lay helpless. Matt gritted his teeth. Then he attacked. It was a bloody stupid thing to do. The golem was faster than he was, and Matt had no idea if the foxhead could kill it or not. He attacked anyway. He attacked for Tylin, for the men he'd lost to this horror. He attacked because he had no other option. When you really wanted to see what a man was worth, you backed him into a corner and made him fight for his life. Matt was in the corner now, bloodied and harried. He knew this thing would eventually find him, or worse, find Tuon or Alver. It was the kind of situation where a sensible man would have run. But he was a bloody fool instead. Staying in the city because of an oath to an Aes Sedai? Well, if he died, he would go out with weapon in hand. Matt became a swirling cyclone of steel and wood, yelling as he attacked. The golem, seeming shocked, actually backed away. Matt slammed his Ashendarai into its hand, burning the flesh, then spun and knocked the dagger from its fingers. The creature leaped away, but Matt lunged forward, ramming the butt of his spear between the thing's legs. It went down. Its motions were fluid and it caught itself, but it did go down. As it threw itself to its feet, Matt slashed the Ashendarai's blade at its heel. He neatly severed the golem's tendon, and if the thing had been human, it would have collapsed. Instead, it landed without even a wince of pain, and no blood seeped free of the cut. It spun and lunged at Matt with clawed fingers. He was forced to stumble back, swinging the Ashendarai to ward it away. The creature grinned at him. Then, oddly, it turned and ran. Matt cursed. Had something scared it away? But no, it was not fleeing. It was going for his men.
"Retreat!" Matt called at them. "Back! Burn you, you bloody monster, I'm here! Fight me!"
The members of the band scattered at his orders, though Talmanis hung back, wearing a grim expression. The golem laughed, but did not chase down the soldiers. Instead, the thing kicked over the first lantern, causing it to wink out. It ran around the circle, kicking at each one, plunging the street into darkness.
"Bloody ashes!"
Matt chased after the creature. If it managed to get all of those lights out, with that cloud cover, Matt would be left fighting it, unable to see. Talmanis, blatantly ignoring his own safety, leaped forward and snatched his lantern up to protect it. Then he fled down the street, and Matt cursed as the golem chased after. Matt dashed behind them, Telmanis had a good lead, but the golem was so quick. It nearly got to him, and Telmanis jerked to the side, backing up the steps of a nearby building. The monster lunged for him, and Telmanis stumbled backward as Matt ran toward them for all he was worth. The lantern fell from Telmanis's fingers and splashed oil across the front of the building. The dry wood came alight, tongues of flame rippling across the lamp oil, illuminating the golem. It leaped for Telmanis. Matt threw his Ashandarai. The broad-bladed spear was not meant for throwing, but he did not have a knife handy. He aimed for the golem's head. One would never have known that, for he missed pitifully. Fortunately, the weapon dipped down and passed between the golem's legs. The monster tripped, thudding heavily to the paving stones. Telmanis scrambled back up the steps of the now blazing building.
Bless this luck of mine, Matt thought.
The golem stood up and made a motion to follow Telmanis, but then looked down at what had tripped it. The creature looked at Matt with a wicked grin, half its face cast in the light of the burning building. The creature picked up Matt's Ashandarai, foxhead medallion still tied to the front, then whipped its hand to the side, tossing the weapon away. The Ashandarai crashed through a window and passed into the burning building. Lamps sparked on inside as if those living there were only now noticing the fight happening in their proximity. Telmanis gave Matt a look, and they met eyes. The Kyrianan man threw himself against the door into the burning building and broke in. The golem spun on Matt, backlit by the growing flames. They blazed quickly, and Matt's heart thumped with alarm as the creature came for him, unnaturally fast. Matt reached into his coat pockets with sweaty fingers. Right before the golem reached him, hands going for Matt's neck, Matt pulled something out with each hand, slamming them forward into the golem's palms. Hissing rang in the air like meat being placed on a grill, and the golem screeched in pain. It stumbled, wide-eyed, as it looked at Matt, who held a foxhead medallion in each hand. He whipped them out, each held on a long, thick chain, spinning them. The medallions caught firelight, seeming to glow as Matt whipped them at the golem, striking it on the arm. The creature howled, backing up another step.
How?
It demanded.
How?
Don't rightly know myself.
Elaine had said her copies weren't perfect, but it seemed they did the job well enough. So long as they hurt the golem, he didn't care about their other abilities. Matt grinned, spinning the second medallion forward.
Guess I'm just lucky.
The golem glared at him, then stumbled up the steps toward the burning building. It dashed inside, perhaps deciding to flee. Matt was not about to let it escape. Not this time. He charged up the steps and ducked through the flaming doorway, reaching out a hand as Telmanis tossed his Ashandarai to him from a side hallway. Matt caught the weapon, leaving the medallions wrapped around his forearms. The golem spun on him. The hallway was already burning, the heat from the sides and above oppressive. Smoke lined the ceiling. Telmanis coughed, a kerchief held to his face. The golem turned on Matt, snarling and attacking. Matt met the beast in the middle of the wide hallway, bringing up his Ashandarai to block the golem's claw-like hands. The butt of Matt's Ashandarai had been singed from sitting in the fire, and the wood smoldered at the end. It left a trail of smoke in the air. He attacked for all he was worth, spinning the Ashandarai, the back end leaving a whirl of smoke around him. The golem tried to strike at him, but Matt dropped the Ashandarai with one hand and flung one of the medallions like a knife, hitting the creature in the face. It howled and stumbled back, face burned and smoking. Matt stepped forward, slamming the end of the Ashandarai against the medallion as it hit the floor, flipping it back up and hitting the creature again. He pushed forward, slashing with the Ashandarai, and several of the creature's fingers fell free. Sure, it did not bleed and did not seem to feel pain from ordinary wounds, but that would slow it a bit. The golem recovered, hissing, eyes wide with anger. Its smile was gone now. It leaped forward in a blur, but Matt spun and sliced down the creature's tan shirt, exposing its chest. Then he whipped the second medallion to the side, hitting the golem as it clawed at his arm, slicing the skin and spraying blood across the wall. Matt grunted. The golem howled and stumbled back, farther down the burning hallway. Matt was sweating from the heat, from the exertion. Matt could not fight this creature, not for long. That did not matter. He pushed forward, letting his Ashendarai become a blur. He slapped the flat of it with the medallion against the golem. When the beast recovered, he flung the second medallion at its face, making it duck. But then he kicked the third one up to hit it in the neck. He left lines of smoke in the air as he spun the Ashendarai, grabbing it in two hands again. The end of his weapon glowed and smoldered. He found himself yelling in the old tongue.
Al-Dival! Al-Kaserai! Al-Mashi!
For light, glory, and love. The golem stepped back, snarling at the barrage. It looked over its shoulder, seeming to notice something behind, but Matt's attack drew its attention back.
Tai-Dai Shar!
True blood of battle. Matt forced the creature toward an open doorway at the back of the hallway. The room beyond was entirely dark. No light of the fires reflected off walls there.
Karai Manshamaya Tylan! Karai Anmanshamaya Nalisian! Karai Anmanshamaya Ayendan!
Honor of my blade for Tylan. Honor of my blade for Nalisian. Honor of my blade for the fallen. The call of vengeance. The golem backed into the darkened room, stepping onto a bone-white floor, eyes flickering down. Taking a deep breath, Matt leaped through the doorway with a final burst of strength and slammed the smoldering butt of his Ashendarai into the side of the creature's head. A spray of sparks and ash exploded around its face. The creature cursed and stumbled to the right. And there, it nearly stepped off the edge of a platform hanging above an expansive void. The golem hissed in anger, hanging with one leg over the void, flailing to keep its balance. From this side, the doorway into the room was ringed by a glowing white light, the edges of a gateway made for skimming.
"I don't know if you can die," Matt said softly. "I hope to the light that you can't."
He raised a boot and slammed it into the thing's back, throwing it off the platform into the darkness. It fell, twisting in the air, looking up at him with a horror.
"I hope you can't die," Matt said, "because I'm going to enjoy the thought of you falling through that blackness forever, you misbegotten son of a goat's droppings."
Matt spit over the side, sending a bit of bloody spittle down, plummeting after the golem. Both disappeared into the blackness below. Sumiko walked up beside him. The stout kinswoman had long, dark hair and the air of a woman who did not like being ordered about. Nearly every woman had that same air. She'd been standing just inside the gateway, to the side where she would be unseen from the hallway. She had to be there to maintain the white platform, which was in the shape of a large book. She raised an eyebrow at him.
"Thanks for the gateway,"
Matt said, shouldering his Ashendarai, the butt still trailing a thin line of smoke. She'd made the gateway from inside the palace, using it to travel to this point and open the gateway in the hallway. They'd hoped that would keep the golem from feeling her channel, as she'd made the weaves in the palace. Sumiko sniffed. Together, the two walked out through the gateway and into the building. Several of the band were hurriedly putting out the fire. Talmanis rushed up to Matt as the gateway vanished, accompanied by another of the kinswomen, Julanya.
"You sure that darkness goes on forever?" Matt asked.
Julanya was a plump, pretty woman who would have fit nicely on Matt's knee. The white in her hair did not detract from her prettiness at all.
"Near as we can tell, it does," Sumiko said. "This was quite nearly bungled, Matram Cawthon. The thing didn't seem surprised by the gateway. I think it sensed it anyway." "Still managed to fight it off the platform," Matt said. "Barely. You should have let us deal with the beast."
"Wouldn't have worked," Matt said, taking a wetted kerchief from Tomanus. Sumiko glanced at his arm, but Matt didn't ask for healing. That cut would heal right nicely. Might even have a good scar. Scars impressed most women, so long as they were not on the face. What did Tuon think of them? Sumiko sniffed. "The pride of men. Do not forget that we lost some of our own to that thing." "And I'm glad I could help you get revenge," Matt said. He smiled at her, though she was right. It had nearly been bungled. He was certain the golem had felt the kinswoman beyond that doorway as they approached. Fortunately, though, the thing hadn't seemed to consider women who could channel to be a threat. Talmanis handed Matt back the two fallen medallions. He tucked them away and untied the one on his Ashendari, slipping it back onto his neck. The kin watched those medallions with a predatory hunger. Well, they could do that all they wanted. He intended one for Ulver and the other for Tuon, once he could find her. Captain Gaibon, Birgitta's second in command, walked into the building.
The beast is dead?
No, Matt said. But close enough for a crown contract.
Crown contract?
Gaibon asked, frowning. You asked the Queen's aid on this endeavor. This wasn't done on her contract.
Actually, Talmanis said, clearing his throat, we just rid the city of a murderer who has taken, at last count, nearly a dozen of her citizens. We're entitled to combat pay, I surmise.
He said it with a completely straight face. Bless the man.
Bloody right, Matt said.
Stopping the golem and getting paid for it. That sounded like a sunny day for a change. He tossed his kerchief to Gaibon and walked away, leaving behind the kinswomen who folded their arms and watched with displeasure. Why was it a woman could look angry with a man, even when he had done exactly what he had said he would, risking his neck even?
Sorry about the fire, Matt, Talmanis said. Didn't mean to drop the lantern like that. I know I was just supposed to lead him into the building.
Worked out fine, Matt said, inspecting the butt of his Ashendari. The damage was minor. They had not known where, or if, the golem would attack him. But Gaibon had done his job well, getting everyone out of the nearby buildings, then picking a hallway that the kinswoman would make the gateway into. He'd sent a member of the band to tell Talmanis where to go. Well, Elaine and Birgitta's idea with the gateway had worked out, even if it hadn't been the way they'd planned. It was still better than what Matt had been able to come up with. His only idea had been to try to stuff one of those medallions down the golem's throat.
Let's collect Satala and Ulver from their inn, Matt said, and get back to camp. Excitement's over for now.
About bloody time.